My desire is to live in such a way that I will have God's approval on my life. I want that, and I need that. And I believe we as God's people want it, and we desperately need it. We live in a very wicked time, and I know we're all aware of that, but it didn't come about overnight. We didn't just go to bed one night and wake up the next day and find ourselves in the shape that we're in. Thinking about the beginning of time, Jesus, or God, in His creation, created many wonderful things. And He looked back and saw that it was good, said. Then He came along and He created mankind. Created Adam and Eve and put them in the garden and did something special with them in that part of His creation. He made them in His own likeness. Put a part of Himself in them. And then He told them that there was a tree in the midst of the garden that He didn't want them to partake of. That tree would be a curse to them. It would be damnable to their soul. He told them to leave it alone. And of course, the enemy of our souls came along and had a discourse with Eve and eventually convinced her that it was okay. It was all right to take of that tree. And man was plunged into sin. I'd like for us to turn in the Bible, in the Word, and to Joshua. Those that care to follow along, I want to turn to the 6th chapter of Joshua. Have burden tonight. I want to speak to everyone in the house, saint and sinner alike, by the help of the Lord. We find the children of Israel had just entered into the land of Canaan and they were getting ready to besiege the city of Jericho. And I want to pick up the reading in the 16th verse of the 6th chapter of Joshua. It said, "And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew the trump with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed, when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it. But all the silver, and the gold, and the vessels of brass and iron, are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." God gave a command here to His people. The commandment, I believe, was unmistakable. It was clear, it was concise, and I believe everyone understood just what God was requiring. God said, "When you take this city Jericho that I'm going to give to you," He said, "it is accursed, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord." God wanted His people to dedicate. Jericho was dedicated to the Lord. This was the first city that they were to take when they entered into the land of Canaan, and God wanted the first fruits. That city was to be dedicated to Him, and it said all the silver and the gold and the vessels and the brass and the iron were consecrated unto the Lord. And anyone that partook of that thing, it was a curse to them. It would bring a damnation to them. And I believe that the command was very clear. I believe it was unmistakable what God was requiring of them. But I pick it up again in the next chapter, chapter 7. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. You know, I see pretty much the same picture when Adam and Eve partook of it there in the garden. God was angry with them. And God did exactly what He said He was going to do with them if they did that. There's a penalty whenever we disobey God, isn't there? One thing that God requires of all of His creation is obedience. God is sovereign. Sovereign God. And He requires obedience from every part of His creation. And every part of His creation obeys Him. Except man that steps outside of the line of obedience to God. Man steps outside that line. Now God said that this thing was to be dedicated to Him, the gold and the silver put in His treasury and used for the work of the Lord or for His purpose. But there was a man named Achan that was in the camp of the children of Israel, and he partook. Now no one knew that except Achan. Maybe his family knew a little bit about it. But no one outside of that, I don't believe anyone knew it. He just saw this Babylonian garment, some silver and a wedge of gold, and he partook of that, and he took it and he hid it in his tent, didn't he? And he's the only one that knew that, except God. Somehow or another, it seems like that all through time that man has still got the idea that they can hide things from God. We can't hide things from God. God is sovereign, as I said, and He sees and He knows all things. And you can't hide any, we can't hide anything in our hearts tonight from God. He knows exactly where we live. He knows how we're standing before Him. He knows our ups and our uprisings and our down sittings, I believe the Bible says. But I thought about how that the fact that Achan here disobeyed the Lord, and there was a penalty to pay. But the penalty wasn't imposed just upon Achan. The children of Israel didn't know anything about it. Joshua, the leader, he didn't know anything about it. And they went out to take the next city, little Ai. Said it wasn't very big. We don't need a lot of people. And you know, when sin is already in the camp, see, and they don't know that. But sin was in the camp. And they went out to take this city and they decided, well, we don't need a lot of people, so let's just send 2,000 or 3,000. Let's don't worry everyone. And we'll send them out there. And it wasn't very long after the victory of Jericho, they began to depend on their own selves. Yeah. On their own ability. Yeah. We don't need God for this one. We'll just send a few men and we'll go out here and we'll take Ai. You know, that seems to be the way it is with mankind. You know, we find ourselves with a little bit of success, and pretty soon we feel like that we're pretty self-sufficient and we don't need the Lord. And we don't need God. But I believe tonight with all my heart that we need Him in the big things and we need Him in the little things. The Scripture says it's through Him that we live and move and breathe and have our being in this life. He's giving us our breath tonight. He's giving us the ability. He's allowing us to be here tonight. He is allowing those things. And we need Him for every part of our life. And the very moment that we decide that we can take care of the little things is the very time that we're going to fail. It's the very time that we're going to fail. Well, they failed, didn't they? It didn't take them very long to find out how dependent that they were on God. And we find Joshua, whenever the children of Israel had to flee before Ai, we find Joshua getting down before the Lord. He's crying before the Lord. And I don't understand this. I'm going to paraphrase this a little bit. Paraphrase this. He don't understand what's going on. God, I don't understand. You gave us Jericho. We marched around the walls and the walls fell down And you gave us Jericho, and now we go out against this little city. And I don't understand, Lord, it's almost like you're making a mockery of us here. We're coming in this new land. We're fighting against the Canaanites and all the ones that are over here. And now your people are fleeing before such a small army. Don't understand it. But I want us to pick up now on the 10th verse of the 7th chapter. The Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned. He didn't say Achan has sinned. He said Israel had sinned, didn't he? He said Israel has sinned and they have also transgressed my covenant. Folks, tonight there's something about sin that God abhors. Sin causes a lot of things to happen between us and God when we allow it in our lives. We're looking on a world today that's in desperate trouble. We're looking on a country today that's in desperate trouble. We need God, and we're trying to find every way that we know how to get out of trouble except to seek God. And we need God. He's the answer. He's the one that we need tonight. He's the one that we need to turn to. We heard the message in the meeting. If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. And that's who we need tonight. But God, see, He saw the accursed thing. The accursed thing had come into the camp. And God has determined that He will not work over sin. He won't work over sin. So He said, get up. He said, Israel sinned and they transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing and have also stolen and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. And he said, well, before I read that next verse, I want to say tonight, folks, we all know, saint and sinner alike tonight, we all know. I believe we have enough understanding. I believe there's enough fear of God before us tonight to know and understand that if we disobey God's word, we're going to be punished. We're going to be punished. There's a retribution for sinning against God or going against His word. But I think about this sin here. No doubt Achan thought, I'm not going to hurt anybody. I'm just going to do this unto myself. I'm going to hide this thing. It's going to be secret. I'm not hurting anybody else. It seemed like such a small thing, didn't it? That's the way the devil approaches us many times. He make it look like such a small thing. But notice what he worked through here. Working through Achan's propensity of greed, propensity to covet, propensity to desire something, stepping and willing to step outside of the will of God, willing to step outside or above and beyond the commandment to leave that thing alone. But I want us to notice that it goes a little bit farther tonight. He said, they have also transgressed my covenant. My covenant. Oh, God loves us so much. He has made many covenants with man down through time. He made covenants with Abraham. He made a covenant with Noah. He made a covenant with Jacob. He made a covenant with children of Israel. When He brought them out of Egypt and out of bondage and brought them through the wilderness, made a covenant with them that I'm going to give you a land of promise, a land that is flowing with milk and honey, didn't He? He made a covenant with them. He didn't say you're going to have to go in and earn it. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you. Oh, God wants to give us good things. God wants to give us blessings. He wants to work among us. Folks, tonight it's important that we have a atmosphere. It's important that we have a people where God will come in and still heal at our altars. It's important that we have a place where God will come in and still answer our prayers. We'll still anoint the Word of God. It's important that we have a place where people can come and be saved, feel protected, feel safe, and in a comfortable place. It's important that we have that. We need to have that in order to have God's approval. In order to have God's favor upon us. Oh, it seemed like such a light thing when I did it. You know, that's the way the devil comes along. Just a little thing. You've heard the little white lie. No such thing. All lies are the same color. Lie is a lie. And the Bible says all liars will have their place in the lake of fire, doesn't it? Oh, sometimes, just like the devil came along with Eve, He'll work through and bring a little deceit. The devil is very deceptive, folks. Saint and sinner alike tonight, the devil is very deceptive, and he knows just how to get to each and every one of us. We have a little song in our book. I think it's one of the most important songs in our book. It says, "My soul, be on my guard." We need to be on our guard tonight, because the devil will work through a little deceit, a little indulgence in something that is impure, in maybe our imaginations or our actions, just a little indulgence. Oh, it won't hurt to just do a little bit. Maybe a little compliance, maybe a little letting down and allowing some of the world to come into my life. Who's it going to hurt? It's just me. I want to say something tonight. This hurt the church. This hurt the power of the church. They broke a covenant. Whether you and I hold a covenant sacred or not, God holds the covenant sacred. I believe there's a scripture that says to sin willfully is to count the blood of the covenant wherewith we are sanctified an unholy thing. And Achan sinned willfully. He saw these things and he went out, he coveted them, and he took them and he hid them. I want to read the 12th verse now. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. I don't believe that there's ever been a time, and if it's in there, I'd like someone to show me, but there was never a time when Israel was a spiritual Israel, when they obeyed God and when they was in His favor and in His will. There never was a time that they ever ran from their enemies. There never was a time that God did not give them the victory that they needed. There never was a time that God did not fail them. God was always there for them. When they were keeping His commandments and obeying His word and will, folks, there was never a time that God ever let them down. And I don't believe tonight that there'll ever be a time that He'll let you and I down when we're doing the will of God. When we're in His favor, and when we're in where He placed that He wants us to be, there'll never be a time that God will let us down. But oh, I think about sin, the sin that was committed. What did it do? It robbed God. You know, sin robs God. It robs God of the talents that He gives you and I. It robs God of the ability that He gives you and I to do good things for Him. And whenever we sin and fall away from God, it brings a barrier. It brings a division between you and us and God. And we rob God. We rob God. We rob Him of honor that is due Him. We rob Him of the love that is due Him. And we rob Him of the obedience or the submission to His will that is due Him. It's due Him, sovereign God. And we're His creation tonight. And whenever we do these kind of things, what it does is it promotes self. This is what Achan did here. He promoted self in opposition to God. What I want to do is more important than what God told me to do. It promotes me. It lifts me up. It exalts me a self. And it sets me in the place, so to speak, as God takes the place of God in my life. And it promotes self. And it sets it up in opposition to God. It deprives God, folks. And I want to say something about this sin here. And like most sin, one of the ways sin is usually manifested is usually done in secrecy. Usually done covert, as we heard in this meeting already. It's usually the secrecy is usually the accompaniment of this type of sin. You know, when he stole these things, or he took these things and he hid them, he didn't take them out and put them on display, but he hid them. He hid them in the earth there in his tent. He didn't put them on display. You know, folks, tonight I believe it's time for us to be real honest with God. Not only honest with God, but honest with ourselves and honest with the devil tonight. We need to know, we need to let the devil know, as God's people, where we stand. We need to know, let the devil know where we stand on faith. We need to know where, let the devil know where we stand on divine healing. Yes, we do. These things are being contested today. We need to know where to let the devil know where we stand on this thing of the being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to let the devil know where we stand, folks. And we need to be honest with ourselves tonight. Achan wasn't honest. He hid it. He hid it. It was a secret thing to him, and he hid it. He broke a covenant. And God was very displeased, wasn't He? There's a question that's in one of the texts in the Bible that says, will a man rob God? You see, God was asserting His judgment or His sovereignty over the Canaanites. He was asserting His sovereignty over the Canaanites. He was going to destroy them, allow them to be destroyed. He was going to give them a ransom for His people. And He couldn't have anything less but utter obedience by His people. He couldn't allow for anything less than strict obedience to the things that God had given them to do. The things that God told them to do must have explicit obedience. Because if anyone stepped outside of the thing that God had told them to do, and other people found out that God was going to allow that, folks, what would it do? It would just go on and on and on. Flesh is never satisfied. Flesh is never satisfied. So God, it was pretty stiff, wasn't it? The penalty was pretty terrible, wasn't it? It was a terrible penalty. Not only Achan, but his family had to pay for that. Not only Achan. Achan and his wife and his children, they were taken out and they were stoned and they were burned. That's a terrible penalty, isn't it? I'm glad we don't live in that time today, aren't you? I'm glad we don't live in that time today. We live in a time where God is merciful through the love and the death of His Son, through the blood of His Son. We're living in a time of more mercy than that. We're living in a time when God will deal with us in a different way. We're living in a time where God will show compassion to you and I. He'll give us opportunity time and time again. He gives us opportunity. But the penalty was terrible. But I want to say about the penalty tonight, and it rings to you and I, the heaviest of all chastisements is the interruption of communication with God. That is, to me, the worst of all chastisement tonight, folks, is the interruption of communication. When it comes down to where you and I cannot get a hold of God for ourselves, when it comes down to the time that we're living in this wicked, evil time, when the enemy is finding all kinds of ways to bring people down and working through every avenue that he can. Folks, when we get in a place where we're not able to get a hold of God, when our relationship has failed, when our relationship is left down, folks, that's a very serious, dangerous time. Very serious time. We got loved ones. I got loved ones, children, family, friends that I want to see saved. You know who they're depending on? Yeah, they're depending on God, but they're depending on us, folks. They're depending on you and I to be the pure people that we say we are. That's what they're depending on. Sin. Tell you what sin does. Sin forms a wall between God and the soul. It forms a wall between God and the soul, of which there is no passing through. No passing through. Sometimes we get the idea it's just a little thing. That's the devil coming along, see? Telling us it's just a little thing. Who's it going to hurt? What's it going to hurt? Folks, things are coming in. And we've heard ministers bring things out from time to time. And I don't intend to do that tonight. But things are coming in amongst us, saying it's just a little thing, just a small matter. As I've heard in this meeting, preachers aren't preaching about it anymore. Lord, help us tonight. Where's our convictions? Where's our conscience tonight? Has it been seared with a hot iron? Have we allowed ourselves so much affection in reaching out to the things of the world that we don't have the conscience we ought to have? Paul said, I got a conscience void of offense before God and before men. That's the kind of conscience we need tonight. We need a clear soul. We need a people that are humbled before God. Now I want to turn over to Romans, 10th chapter of Romans. God loves Israel. Always has, and they'll always be His people. He said, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And I'm glad, and I believe we're His people tonight. And I'm glad He's our God. He's our God. He's strong, and He's powerful, and He's mighty. And He's a God that's full of love and full of mercy, but He's also a God that is a wrathful God. It says in Romans 10th chapter, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You know, Paul had a love for souls. He had a love for the church. He was he went about and established many congregations in different places. And he had a real love for the church, and this was his desire. He said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record. You know, tonight, that's what Jesus died for. For any of those tonight that are here that are not saved, He died that you might be saved. And I want to say that those of us that are saved tonight, that's our desire, that you be saved. That's our desire. That's why we're here. That's one of the main reasons why we're here, is for souls to be saved. Souls to be delivered from that old life of sin. I gave a testimony here several years ago, folks. I've been out there and I know what it's like. I know what it's like out there in the world. I tasted of it very deeply. But God in His mercy and His love, He reached down His hand for me. And He lifted me out of that miry clay. There's folks here tonight, I have no doubt in my mind, that are in miry clay. They're in rough waters tonight. People tonight that have got heartaches and serious problems in their life, serious needs, things, maybe addictions, maybe chains and binds that have you bound, that you're not able to get out of yourself. I want to tell you tonight, there's still deliverance here tonight at our altars. There's deliverance for you. No matter what it is, don't let the devil come along and try to cheat you out of anything that's good for your soul. Because you can get help for it right here tonight. You can get victory. Our prayer is that you might be saved. But he said, I bear them record, talking about Israel again, that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Have you ever seen any folks like that? Have a lot of zeal? Really want to do things for God? Really want to... I'm so happy, and I know what I got. It feels so good. I want everybody to have it. That's a good feeling. And that's a good way to be. But folks, whenever we have that kind of zeal, it's important that we have knowledge to go with it. I heard this quoted in this meeting about growing in the grace and in the knowledge of God. You know, it's important that we not only grow in knowledge, but we grow in grace. There's a lot of people get knowledge. Most of us here tonight have a lot of understanding and knowledge of what the Bible teaches. But do we have the grace that it takes to live to the understanding that we have? See, the grace has to keep up with the knowledge. And sometimes we get ahead of the grace and we got a lot of knowledge and we go on and next thing you know, we're telling everybody else how to do it, but we're not doing it ourselves. I have found in my experience that I would much rather try to help someone that will come up and tell me, Brother Abbott, I'm just an outright sinner, I've never known the Lord, and I want to be saved, than to someone to come up and talk to me and know so much about the Bible and knowing they need help, and you can't hardly get them to see themselves. They are so hard to talk to, so hard to deal with. Matter of fact, I find that most of the time I can't hardly get a word in edgewise because they want to relate to me how everything is and just how it's supposed to be. And how wonderful everything is, knowing that they have needs in their own souls. Lord, help us tonight. That's true. That is very true. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And we need grace to go with the knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness. I believe tonight there's a lot of folks that have established their own righteousness. There's some folks that have established the way they feel is right. He said they have established their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, I used this phrase not long ago, and I'm going to use it again tonight. But folks, until we come to where God wants us to be, until we meet the requirements of God's Word, He can't do anything for you and I. He can't do it. When Achan committed the trespass, he stepped outside of the commandments of God. He stepped outside of His will. He stepped outside of the order, the plan that God had for His people. And God could not bless them, could He? Couldn't bless them. And you know tonight, folks, when we're doing things and we're going about establishing our own righteousness and it's not God's righteousness, He can't do what you want Him to do. I believe that there's good people that are asking God to do things for them and God can't do it because they're not doing what they ought to be doing. They're not living to what they know and understand. But they've established their own righteousness. That's called self-righteousness, isn't it? Self-righteousness. But He said Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Folks, that's my righteousness tonight, is Jesus Christ. Scripture says He was made righteousness for you and I. It says it over in the first chapter, and I believe 30th verse of 1 Corinthians. Christ has made righteousness, our righteousness. He's made our sanctification. He's made our wisdom. Jesus Christ is. But I want to talk about those that establish their own righteousness. I believe that the Lord has shown me that there is a spirit that has been working among us for a long time. And I'll just leave it at a long time. But I see a spirit that is very prevalent today in our world. And Lord, help us tonight. I believe that we're influenced by it very greatly. And that is the spirit of presumptuousness. Presumptuousness. Peter said, they are self-willed. Not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Presumptuousness. That, I believe, is the spirit of deception that the devil is working through today. The Bible said he's gone out to deceive the nations. And I'm reminded in the Word of God when the disciples asked the Lord about the destruction of Jerusalem in the end time. And He began to tell them about Him. The first thing that He said was, take heed that you be not deceived. I believe, folks, tonight that there's things rooted in among us. I don't know what it's only going to take God to get it unrooted. It's only going to take God to get people delivered from the things that they're grounded in. But I want to say about presumptuousness, it is an exalted spirit. It's exalted. It is a bold spirit. It's a bold spirit and it's an insolent spirit. It will stand in the face of dignity. It'll stand in the face of authority and it will contest authority. We see it today. It's a self-willed spirit, as Peter said. You know, your soul is defended by your will. By the will that you have. You can will to believe or will not to believe. You can will to accept or will not. to accept. You can accept what the preacher says, or you can will not to accept what the preacher says. But I want to say tonight, in the fear of God, if what the preacher is saying up here has conviction of God upon it and the Spirit of God is manifested through it, you better be careful about just throwing it away. You better be careful. A presumptuous spirit today. The enemy's hiding himself in that. You know how he's doing it? He's hiding himself in our personalities. He's hiding himself in our personalities. You know they're split personalities. You've heard of split personalities. You got people that when they come in amongst the saints, they got one set of clothing. And whenever they're home and they're away from where the camp of the saints are, they got another set of clothing. I'm going to get plain here. Because we don't need sin in the camp. We want to have some power with God. Folks, we need power. We need His glory. We need for God to be able to come down. When Moses was getting ready to take the children of Israel, he said, God, I'll take them. But he said, I've got to see you. I've got to know that you're going to be with me. I want to see your glory. That's what he asked for. I want to see your glory. Folks, tonight, I appreciate that we can come and sit in heavenly places, sing these beautiful songs, have fellowship and worship together. But folks, I want to see more of God's glory. I want to see less of us and more of God on display in our hearts. God's glory, but it's being hindered today. You know the world's failing, isn't it? Our country's failing. Our country is right on the verge of very serious judgment. Right on the verge of very serious judgment. And with everything else failing, take a look around at the body. God has a people. He has a remnant. He always will have a remnant. They will always be God's people. But look around and how the enemy is trying to creep in among God's people. Look around at the things that God is doing among God's people. I mean, the devil is trying to do among God's people. Look around. That's why the ministers are getting up and saying what they're saying. That's why they have the burdens that they have. That's why they're saying things that some people don't want to hear. Some people have manifested or have got so entrenched in their own righteousness that they don't want to hear the righteousness of God. They've got their life in such an order where it satisfies them, they're comfortable with it, they're living the way they want to, and they don't want to hear about what the truth really says. But yet they'll come and worship with us. They'll come and worship with us. They'll come and sit in our... And we want them to. Don't get me wrong. But we want them to be right, folks. We want them to be right. We want them to get things cleared up with God. A spirit of presumptuousness. Oh, the devil's working in that today. My personality. One of the things that I hear people say is, you know, that's the trait. That's the way the family always is. You cross me and I'll hold a grudge. I got it honestly. We heard about that, didn't we, in this meeting? Oh, I got it honestly. Folks, that's no excuse tonight. God can deliver us from those kind of things. I went to visit with some other folks not long ago. A person up in years that their house was condemned. And I had been in the home, and I'm surprised it wasn't condemned sooner. But their house was condemned, and they didn't have any place to go, and they were sick, and they ended up in a nursing home. We went and visited with that individual, and we visited many times, and they usually have a lot of questions for the preacher. You know what one of the first questions that they had for me this time? Brother Larry, do I have to forgive those people that put me out of my house? Why is that a question? Why is it a question? How far have we gone, folks, to get to the place where that's a question? Our Lord and Savior hung on a cross and said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Unforgiveness is a part of the spirit of presumptuousness. I am going to presume that I don't have to forgive these people I've got to ask, I've got to go to a minister and ask them, do I have to forgive those people? You know, to me it was preposterous, but I realized I was dealing with this old soul there, and I wanted to be gentle with him, and I said, yes. Yes, with all of your heart, you're going to have to forgive them. You're not going to be able to see inside of God's heaven with unforgiveness in your heart. And you know, I know tonight, folks, I know some folks. I'm not saying they're here tonight, but I know folks that sit right with us, right among us, that have unforgiveness in their hearts against their own family, against their own children, against their own mothers and fathers. That's presumptuous of us to sit in these type of places and sit in our seats with self-righteousness on our face and have these kind of things in our heart. It's not the righteousness of God, folks. You see, Paul said they haven't submitted. That goes back to the humility that we heard, doesn't it? People are not willing to submit to God's righteousness. You're not going to go halfway with God and see inside of God's heaven. You're not going to go halfway with this thing. You're not going to go three quarters with this thing. You're going to have to go all the way. A complete sellout for God. God's not going to take half-heartedness. He's not going to take a split personality. He wants us, if we're saints and called to be saints, He wants us to be saints 24/7. No matter where we are. Integrity was spoke of in this meeting. Folks, integrity means that I do what I'm supposed to do even when no one else is looking. Why do I need someone looking over my shoulder? But I do what I know that I'm supposed to do. If Achan would have done what he was supposed to do, Ai wouldn't have been a problem. God's blessings would have still been on him. But I believe tonight, if we sit together in these type of places and we want God to come down and bless us and we know we've got these things in our heart, we can hinder what God wants to do for us. We can hinder it. Because if we have things like this in our heart, there's no doubt someone around that knows it. You can't keep those kind of things hid. Achan didn't keep it hid. No doubt, someone knows it. This presumptuousness is a spirit of deception. And it's working hard on us today. Oh, do you know there's folks that are just built up with anger? Just have so much anger. If I see that certain person, it just brings this feeling in me. Just to see certain someone just walk in. Lord, help us tonight to get along and fellowship one another as brethren. Do you know that bitterness doesn't start out as bitterness? Not the way it starts out. It generally starts out with an ill will. An ill will. It starts out with someone wronging you. And it begins to fester. And then you hear something about that individual and something bad, and it makes you feel good. Makes you feel good because something bad has happened to them. That's an ill will. You have an ill will. And folks, when we hold those ill wills and let them go on, they begin to fester and the enemy begins working in there. And it begins to grow. The old mold sets in. The old self-righteousness sets in. I'm going to take this that feels good to have this kind of feeling. And I'm going to hold this kind of feeling and I'm going to hold it on them. And the next thing you know, I've got a root of bitterness that it's going to take only God to get rid of that out of my life. Out of my heart. The root of bitterness. It's presumptuous to think that we can worship God any less but with a pure heart, isn't it? Isn't it? Are we presuming on God that we can come and fellowship with God and His people with anything less than a pure heart? A pure heart. Wash me with hyssop, David said. Wash me and make me clean. The spirit of presumptuousness exalts man. It exalts a man. It is exalted spirits. People that are lifted up. People that feel that they are better in their own eyes than others. Spirit of presumption works in this manner. If God has come along, and I'll use myself in this example, if God has come along and He's put convictions on my life, if there's things that He's convicted me on and reproved me that I cannot do, and folks, it's strictly a conviction that God has put on my life, something that He's requiring of me, I do not have the right to turn around and put that conviction on the church. That's right. Amen. That's my conviction. And I believe every one of us have convictions that God has required. Things that God has required and put conviction on us that He wants us to leave alone because it's an accursed thing. I could testify right here tonight. I could name things that God has put on my life that says I cannot do that you very well can do. But I cannot put that on you as something that you have to follow to. But yet an exalted spirit will lift up and they'll put their convictions on you. Let's be careful, folks. That's going about establishing your own righteousness. I see it. I see it. Lord help us. We see it. Folks that want to go around, they have certain convictions of how God is, things that God has required on their life, and want to put it on everybody else. Determined that everybody else got to fall into that same conviction. You know, sometimes God puts convictions that aren't on us that are not outlined black and white in the Word of God. Yes, the principle's there, yes. Principle of righteousness, purity, holiness, and all those things. Folks, holiness is still the law. He said, upon Mount Zion there shall be holiness. All the limits round about, therefore, shall be holy. God's people ought to permeate holiness, shouldn't we? Permeate holiness everywhere that we go. Even if we're alone, we represent the church of God. That's who we represent. We represent the church. We're a representative of Christ. We're an ambassador. But oh, when we got things hid, we're living one way and doing another, you know what that brings about? That brings confusion, doesn't it? Brings confusion. The spirit of presumption draws attention to itself. Draws attention to itself. Look at me. Look who I am. See who I am. You know, I appreciated what Brother Curtis said last night. How that he got humbled down a little bit. Reminded me when I was listening to it of a preacher that said that he had preached a sermon. And after he was finished, several people come up to him and told him what a good sermon that was. Just told him how wonderful a speaker that he was. He said he went home and got thinking about that, got feeling pretty good. Well, I'm a pretty good speaker. I told my wife, you know, he said, I preached a sermon today and there are a lot of people really, they come up to me and say, that was really good. I said, I'm a good speaker. He said, I wonder how many of us there are. And his wife told him, said, there's one less than you think there is. The Lord always has a way to humble us, folks. And I probably can speak for most of the preachers that He uses our wives many times. My wife has been faithful to do that. But I've never, not on that line, I've never had a problem with that line. But folks, the presumptuous spirit will draw attention to itself. Want to be on display. Let us mark these things tonight. These things have been a burden to me for some time. Burden of mine for some time. Let us mark these things. It'll draw its attention to itself. The spirit of presumption will say to you, I don't need to do it that way. I don't need to do it that way. He's being too strict. He's putting it too close. Folks, it is a narrow way. The truth is a narrow way. And few there be that's going to go in there. We're blessed tonight to have those that love us enough to stand up before us and tell us the truth. I'm thankful for that. That they will stand up before us and they plead. You can see their heart is broken. You see they don't want to say it. But they're willing to stand there for the sake of your soul and their own to tell us the truth. I want to know the truth now. I don't want to find out later. I want to know now. Establishing their own righteousness. People are doing that today. And when you do that, folks, it's the same kind of a sin as Achan's. It's a cover-up. You're covering up. If you haven't submitted yourself to everything that God is requiring of you, you're covering up. And you know, people, many precious souls have gone on now and establishing themselves in what they feel is the right way. They feel like, oh, I'm a part of this thing and I have a right for this and I have a right for that. When right back here sometime, God has put His finger on something in their life. They haven't been willing to deal with it. They covered it up and they smoothed it over and they're going on now, raising their hand, making their testimony, and still they have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. God's not going to forget what was covered up. He didn't forget it in Achan's case. He won't forget it in ours. It doesn't work that way. People that operate under this spirit overstep their liberty. They generally are insolent and bold and don't care what others think. That may sound kind of hard, but folks, that's what that spirit does. It's spoken of in the Word of God in a few places. David said, "Keep me back from a presumptuous spirit." Lord, help us tonight. A lack of desire to attain. This is something that I was dealing with in my mind some time back. A lack of desire to attain. A lack to believe. An unwillingness to accept and to obey doesn't change the covenant that God has made with you and I. Doesn't change it a bit. The fact that we want to do it a different way, the fact that we see it a different way, does not change the covenant that God has made with His people. God doesn't change, and it will not change for any one of us. I want to turn over now to Revelations 14 chapter. In verse 14, "And I looked, and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on this cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. The angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress even unto the horse bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs." Tonight, I believe, folks, that this is our time. This is the time. We're in the time of the harvest. We're in the time where lines are being drawn between the wheat and the chaff. And I want to say that this is no time for you and I to try to be diplomatic with the devil. Diplomacy, the devil does not understand. Diplomacy is used when two nations are considering or not getting along and possibly warring with one another, and they send diplomats in to try to avert war, don't they? Sit down at a table and try to keep war from happening. But I want to say tonight, folks, the war has been going on for a long time. There is no war to avert. We're in a battle. We're fighting for our lives. We're fighting for our souls.
We're fighting for our children's souls. We're fighting for our loved ones' souls, folks. And the battle is waging, and the enemy doesn't understand diplomacy. And people are trying to be diplomatic with the devil. Deciding, hiding in their own hearts. Hiding in my own life. I'm not hurting anyone else. I'm only doing this. Myself is the only one that's affected. Folks, that's not so. We're hurting the cause of God. We're hurting the cause of God. We're fighting a holy war tonight. And a holy war can only be fought with holy men and women of God. When the base passion of selfishness creeps in, as it did in Achan's case, it ceases to be a holy war. Whenever we begin to hide things in our hearts, you and I are no longer waging a holy war. And when that happens, it becomes worse than any other war. Because God will not suffer His name to be profaned. When we seek our own glory, aimed at securing power, fortune, or glory for ourselves, we pave the way for defeat every time. To make use of the cause of God, listen to this, folks, to make use of the cause of God for your own sake or your own ends, not only dishonors, but faithfully compromises the cause of God. I believe that tonight. It dishonors and it compromises the cause of God when we set out to obtain glory or power or any kind of thing for our own sake, our own design. And we get lifted up and we get exalted, and the spirits that try to come in among us saying, look at me, I'm better than thou, and all those kind of things. You're fighting for your own cause and it compromises the cause of God. And it does a great disservice, doesn't it? And because then it's no longer the cause of God. It's the cause of the devil, folks. It becomes no longer the cause of God. It's the cause of the devil. And oh, I see the devil working like that tonight. I really do. The devil is working so hard. I think he's put everything, he's opened the legions and he's put everything he's got into this tonight. We're fighting on all fronts. We're fighting a holy war. But I see here in verse 19, the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And it said the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even to the horse bridles. Folks, he's not talking about a literal battle there. He's not talking about a literal battle. He's talking about a spiritual battle there. And I want to say tonight, folks, you know, literally, it would take millions and millions of bodies for blood to get that deep, wouldn't it? But I want to say tonight that there's many, many, many souls. There's many souls. The blood of souls is running deep tonight. Running very deep. We're waging a holy war. The enemy has brought his forces together. God has brought his forces together. Folks, which side are we on? We're going to be on one side or the other. Can't be divided. Can't stand in the middle. What side are we going to take? We're fighting a holy war. We're fighting a holy war. And the blood of souls, the blood of your people, my people, the lost world that we live in, our nation that's getting worse and worse every day. Blood of souls running very deep right now. The sickle's been thrust in. It's been thrust in to the great winepress of God. I say this in closing tonight. The smallest forbidden thing we keep is enough to shut up the heavens and bring down upon us the severe judgment of God until we confess it and put it away. So tonight, if the Lord has shown any of us, you know, I was working at the altar the other night, but I caught a little bit of what Brother Phillips was saying up here. You know, I noticed in the Word of God that when Achan was found out, they stoned his wife and his children. Achan wasn't a teenager. Do you understand what I'm saying? Achan wasn't a teenager, folks. He was a grown man. He was a man. He had a family. He had responsibility. Sometimes we get the idea, all these kind of messages, you know, our young people, they need to take heed, they need to listen. What? We're speaking to everyone tonight. We're speaking to those that are not teenagers. Have you got anything covered up? Have you got anything hidden tonight? Are you doing anything you wouldn't want us to see or someone else to see? Folks, we're in a battle. We're in a war. We've got to do it with a pure heart. We've got to do it banded together, all fighting for the same cause, the same purpose. We've got to do it the way God says to do it, the way His Word teaches us to do it, submitting ourselves to the righteousness of God. Thank you for your time and attention.